Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll remind you all you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. You also know that you can hit us up anytime you want here at the studio, 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? Encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, post some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. We will definitely take your opinion, and we want to know how we can improve this show and get better with each and every show. All right, so do you have a tee time scheduled for this weekend? Playing 9 or 18 with some of your friends and don't want to embarrass yourself? Don't fret. Right here on Current Sports, we have the privilege of welcoming Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner for our very first golf tip segment. Now, this is part two of our just summer-long series. You got to hear this. Our segment begins at the turn of Timber Ridge.
We're on the 10th hole, right? Describe what we're looking at right now.
We're on the 10th hole here at Timber. Pretty much it's a straightaway hole. It's a par four, 400 yards from the tees we're playing at. Like I said before in our first lesson, I pick out the spot I do not want to be on this hole in terms of where I want my first shot to go. So on the left side of this golf hole, we have a lot of trees. We have some marsh area. You can see some thicker grass down the left side that you really don't want to be in.
Right.
And you can almost see another golf hole to the right. Obviously, you don't want to go super right, but if you go left, it's a penalty. So
gotcha.
I'd much rather go way right, still have a shot in bounce,
right,
than take a penalty going left.
Then going
Wouldn't
left.
You say so?
No, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I don't want that.
So going off the tips you learned last week, kind of simplifying things a little bit, not
right.
taking your arms back as long.
Right.
And making sure you're aiming straight down the middle of the fairway. There is a bunker in the middle, kind of a little bit to the right of the fairway, that you don't want to aim for necessarily, but if you end up going in there, that's still better than left.
Exactly.
So,
okay.
And the first tip I gave you, which side of this tee box would you want to tee off on?
I'm going to tee off on the side where I don't want to be.
Exactly.
And that's the left side. So I'm going to tee off on the right.
Perfect.
I mean, on the left.
On the left.
Look, I'm messing up already. On the left. Here we go. All right. Let's tee this baby.
All right.
And it went right.
It went right. So it's findable.
Yeah.
So now let's figure out why it went right.
Yeah.
So before, I mentioned that I may or may not have mentioned the swing itself. It's composed of two main body parts.
Right.
With the torso turning. So when you have your chest kind of turning all the way back behind you at the top of your swing, before when your arms got too long this way, it would kind of create sort of a lag or hard to time with your arms coming down. So sometimes your arms would get caught behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the club face would be pointing facing
the
direction you were,
right,
to the right. So in order to straighten your shot out, we want to speed up those arms coming down. So let the arms drop first, and that way your arms can be more in line with your torso turning as opposed to lagging behind. What you struggle with is on your downswing, you tend to kind of turn your body first.
Too early. This has to come first.
So what you need to feel is arms drop first,
yep.
Then your right shoulder starts to turn through, and that's how you square the club with the ball.
Gotcha.
And then as you turn through, chest is more pointed towards your target.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So arms first.
Arms first,
people.
On the downswing.
It was better.
Straighter.
But
that time you just lifted up a little bit. Did you feel your body
kind of
come up a little bit?
I did, yeah.
And when your body comes up, the ball hits lower on the club face.
Right.
So it didn't sound as good that time. You know, you almost squared your club face, but because you kind of lifted up, lifting up actually prevents you from turning through easier.
Right, okay.
So it's the act of you turning through that actually squares the club face, as opposed to you sort of flipping your hands or or manipulating your arms.
Yeah.
The turn sort of, just as I said on the backswing, the turn is kind of dictates where your arms go.
Right.
So same thing on the downswing, you want to unwind with your body. And even though your arms get ahead, you still want to feel like your chest is turning through the shot as you hit the ball. Because it's actually your, you want to almost think of it as hitting the ball with your chest, meaning
okay.
getting your chest through the shot so that your club face squares up towards where you want the ball to go.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's go play the second shot, man.
Let's go play the second shot.
Let's do it.
You see a bunch of foliage on the left. Kind of an elevated green with two bunkers guarding it on both sides. The green itself is two-tiered, meaning the back portion of the green is much more elevated than the bottom portion. It's almost like two shelves.
Right, okay.
And depending on where the pin is, the GPS tells us it's dead in the middle and that you have 194 yards from our cart right here.
Now for you, Max, playing this shot, now I understand it's going to be different from me and other players, but playing this shot, what kind of club would you use?
So for me, my 5-iron goes about 200 yards, and my 6-iron goes about 190. So right now I'd be in between clubs, essentially, based on the yardage of 194 yards.
Right, okay.
So in my head, do I want to choose the club short of that distance and try to hit it really hard, or do I want to take more club? In my mind, and this can be a tip for a lot of people, take the bigger club. Take more club than you need if you're unsure of which club to use, and hit it smooth. The right. hardest thing to do is hit a shot more, put more into a shot to make it go further.
Right.
Too often for an amateur golfer or a beginner golfer, when someone tries to swing harder, they usually put more body and
it messes up the technique.
Yeah,
right?
The technique is important, and when you're trying to hit it harder too often, you get unnecessary body parts involved in the swing.
For me, I'm probably an Ironwood guy right here.
Okay.
So I'm going to go in Ironwood.
If taking more clubs is going to put you in a position where you might go over the green, then take the club that will leave you with a shot that's still playable.
Makes
so
sense.
So if from 195 yards this club goes 220, take the next club down.
Gotcha.
So if it's too much of a gap, if it's too much club is not necessarily a good thing when there's trouble behind the green. Much better contact.
Much better. All right. Okay. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's a full pitching or a full gap wedge, I should say, a 52 degree wedge. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one more club just to be safe and just hit a smooth swing. So I'm going to hit a smooth pitching wedge instead of trying to overkill the shorter club, because I'm more likely to mess up my technique trying to swing harder than if I just swung smoothly with one more club.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm in the middle of the fairway. Really, I'm in what I call the scoring distance. Anytime I have a wedge in my hand, whether it be a pitching wedge, sand wedge, lob wedge, I'm really trying to go close to the pin if possible.
Right.
And really, no bad thoughts are coming through my head at this point. I'm not even looking at anything else but really the flag. I'm trying to create some sort of tunnel vision to visualize the shot that I want to hit. And then once I put my feet, I kind of line the club up a little bit with where I want to put my feet. So I kind of close one eye and imagine where my feet would be in the line of where my club is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go ahead and I set my feet in that position, making sure the ball is in the center of my stance. Then I take one look at the flag, do a few waggles, and go. It's a little left, but it's on the green.
It's dancing.
And I'm putting for birdie.
Yep.
So.
You are dancing.
And tip of the day, always replace your divots.
Replace your divots.
It's good for the golf course.
Yes.
It keeps the golf course healthy. If there's sand on your cart, right. Fill the divot with the sand. And that way, the grass can grow back a lot quicker than if you just left it the way it was.
There you go. See that? I fall victim of that all the time. So, tip of the day, guys. Fill your divots. Stop being lazy, all right?
Good shot there.
There we go.
A little long,
but okay.
But you turned through nicely. It went exactly where your feet were pointed.
Yeah. There we go. Best shot of the day for me.
Best shot so far.
Long, though.
But we good still shot. Got about an hour of daylight now.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful day for golf.
It's a perfect day. Not too hot, not too cold.
Right. Right in the middle, man.
Barely any wind.
Yeah.
And the course is beautiful. I love it here. So.
It is, man. You're a lucky man, Max.
You know, I wake up trying to remind myself of that. And I love what I do. I love teaching. I mean, this is my own little personal sanctuary.
Right.
So
oh, yeah.
I love it. So you're just off the green. You can't quite putt this because you're in the thicker rough here. You have a little bit of green to work with between you and the hole. And you're setting up for what we would call a chip shot. So in my mind, the chip shot is an extension of a putting stroke. So on a putting stroke, you're taking it, you know, pretty low to the ground, but you're pretty much keeping your wrist still, and you're trying to rock your shoulders a little bit. You use the bigger muscles. It's hard to control these tiny little wrist muscles.
Right.
You see a lot of beginner golfers try to, you know, use all wrists and kind of try to stab at it a little bit. You want to feel that your wrists are more tight. Imagine between my arms and the club itself, you can kind of see a lowercase y. I don't know if you see that.
Lowercase. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
See between my arms and the club?
Right.
So your goal is to have your wrists so stiff to the point where, this is what I teach the little kids, okay?
Uh-huh.
Don't let the tail of the lowercase y wiggle.
Gotcha. Okay? So keep it stiff. So keep the wrist stiff.
Keep the wrist stiff and rock the shoulders. So the difference between obviously a putting stroke and a chipping stroke is that you want to get some lift.
Right.
So you pick up the club, but you're still keeping your wrist stiff.
How's that? Is that good?
Even through the shot. Yep, that's beautiful. The tail's staying still.
All right.
Keep the tail still.
Now, how do you judge the distance?
So distance-wise.
And the speed when you talk about a chip shot.
Great question. So depending on what club you're using, I'll throw a little bit of math at you. Certain clubs have different ratios, okay? So, is that a pitching wedge?
This is a pitching wedge.
A pitching wedge has about one part flight to about four parts roll. Meaning, if you were to break up the distance between your golf ball and the hole into about four parts, you would want to aim for that end of the first part.
Okay.
So in my mind, that would be somewhere probably right where I'm standing right here is where you'd want the ball to land. Right. Now, how do you hit it this far? That takes practice, repetition, really getting a feel for how big of a backswing you need to take to get a pitching wedge to go 10 feet.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, let's go for it.
It's about 10 feet.
Come on.
Okay. Alignment-wise, a little left, but that's about the distance you wanted.
Right.
So all in all, not a terrible shot.
Not bad. All right, putting. Now we're going to go to putting, a segment that we did not get to last week. So Max is going to kind of go through how to read a putt and the speed and all of that. So go ahead, Max.
We have about 20, 25 feet here. First thing I'm looking for is between right around the vicinity of where my golf ball is and where the hole is, I'm trying to look for where the highest spot is in between. So visually, I always like to walk around before, as I'm looking at the putt.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, is the high side, where the high side is. So for me, visually, I see that the higher side of the green is to the left of the golf ball, you know, when I'm aiming at the hole. So that tells me that this side, going from there, remember I gave the whole monsoon reference.
If you drop some water down right on that high spot,
where would it end up flowing?
Right.
And it would sort of come, you know, left to right and come maybe a little back down towards me. And it's going to curve to the right.
Gotcha. Okay.
So then I try to pick out a spot. So I pick a number. I say, you know, I want to aim 2 feet left of the hole. So I kind of line my putter up with where that spot would be. When you close one eye, you can see the extension of your putter kind of creates a line between your golf ball and close to the hole. So I put the putter at a I put the putter roughly 2 feet left of the hole, and I find a spot somewhere in between that crosses that putter.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing here is that little blade of grass right here.
Okay, and this is called spot putting, right?
Spot putting, you got it.
There we go, I remember that, hey.
Spot putting helps you sort of make, it helps make alignment and aiming a lot easier because you're focusing right on that blade of grass, which is 4 feet in front of me, instead of 2 feet left of the hole, 25 feet in
right
front of me.
Right.
So from here, it's now I try to get a sense of how big of a backswing I have to take.
Now, you know what, Max, to intervene just real quick,
go for
a
it
lot of people, when you talk about, you know, how to hold a club when you're driving compared
yeah
to how to hold a club when you're putting, describe how you hold a putting when you're on the green. How do you hold a club?
So gripping the putter, mm-hmm, there are multiple ways. So once you're on the green, because we're making such a simple stroke,
mm-hmm,
you know, pretty much anybody that has been putting before miniature golfing,
right,
it's a pretty simple task to take a putter back and try to hit
and
a
just
ball.
Just hit it, yeah, exactly.
So there's multiple ways of holding the club because of that fact. So the way I hold my putter is I put my left hand, I hold the grip of the putter more so in the palms of my left hand. Typically, in a regular swing, you would feel the club more in your fingers. But I like to feel a little more palm. That's just to keep this left wrist more firm.
Okay.
You feel the club maybe pressing a little more up against your left wrist. And I cover my left thumb with the padding of my right hand, and I let this pinky just rest on top of these right fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to go along with keeping the right wrist kind of stiff. Because similar to a chip shot, you don't want your wrist to break when you're putting.
Right, okay. That's to keep everything a little stiff.
Keep everything a little stiff so that all you need to focus on is rocking your shoulders back and forth. And it's a lot about feel. Whatever
to
feels comfortable, exactly. Whatever feels comfortable for you. The legends of the game, Jack Nicklaus, you know, they would hunch all the way over and
right
they would putt with their wrists.
Oh, wow.
It's what felt comfortable to them. You got to find something you can repeat over and over.
Gotcha.
So for me, it's resting that left index finger on my right fingers and
right
trying to keep my left wrist from breaking. All right. So let's go ahead and do this. So I'm focusing on my spot, which is that blade of grass. Take a few more practice strokes. Try to make as even and as straight of a putting stroke as I can. Line the putter up, make sure it's in the center of the club face. Take one look and go. Always keep your head down and focused on where the ball was even after you hit it.
Well, there you have it, Max. Hey, appreciate
it. Thanks, Al.
Always, no problem. Again, Max Rebner, golf pro here at Timber Ridge Golf Course. This is golf tip segment number 2. Hope you guys enjoyed it and hope it improves your game.
What makes a golfer a pro? Is it in the stroke or in the brain? I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how scientists are taking a swing at what makes a top-flight golfer with British Open winner Phil Mickelson. Plus, turn on that porch light, get out that flashlight. It's Moth Week, and we're partying. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
We'll be right back.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We want to remind you all, we'll be taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We just finished up segment two with our golf pro, Max Rebner, over at Timber Ridge Golf Course. Very informative. Hopefully it improved your game. I definitely feel myself getting better and better each time I go out with Max. I'll be playing 18 tomorrow with my stepdad. Should be fun stuff. All right, guys, let's dive into our current sports topics right now. The Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, they finally lose to the Chicago White Sox. 7-4 was the final. Justin Verlander, again, he is he gave up 7 runs and 11 hits in 6 innings. JV has not been the JV of old. I keep saying that. I mean, I feel like I'm saying it every time JV takes the mound. Tyler Flowers, he catching for the first time since July 21st. He homered off the Tigers star on JV. And JV, I guess he's feeling pretty confident, though, because he had a quote that says, quote, "Today, as funny as it sounds, was a step in the right direction. I thought my stuff was the best it's been all year. It was just a little erratic," end quote. So, you know, looking at it on paper, it's like, JV, I don't know if he had a great outing, but he feels confident in himself. I don't know, maybe if that's just a cover-up to say, hey, you know, I'm playing like crap, but I got to stay positive. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but that's Verlander, so... Verlander, he fell 0-2 now against the White Sox this season. Of course, he struggled very early in this game. Now, the Tigers, again, they are minus Miguel Cabrera. This is the third straight game that he's missed. He is still fighting that hip flexor injury that's been plaguing him. Now, Cabrera's status for Friday night's home game tonight against Philadelphia is still uncertain. And Torrey Hunter, who has been great, really a good pickup for the Tigers. He homered for the third time in the series versus Chicago, but the Tigers outfielder, he exited in the eighth with a sore left Achilles. So injuries kind of plaguing the Tigers right now in the second to begin the second half of the season with Torrey. And, first Miguel, now Torrey now. And Tigers second baseman Omar Infante, who is on a rehab assignment with the single-A West Michigan after spraining his left ankle July 3rd. He could return to the Tigers tonight if he feels ready to return. Now, the Tigers will put Doug Fister on the mound and will face Philadelphia's Cole Hamels in Detroit down at Comerica Park. So, guys, when you look at this, I want to just quickly just dive into I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but with Justin Verlander, even though, you know, he feels the best that he's felt all year. He felt as though he was just a little erratic. Do you guys buy that?
Yeah, and the real question is, how much does his velocity come into play? Because you've heard people say he doesn't throw as fast as he did last year. You don't see him get up to 100 miles an hour anymore. But is it the velocity? Is it the location? Why? Yeah. I don't know.
I did read that his fastball is now around 92 to 93 averaging per game, which is... definitely lower than what has been, which has had like maybe around 95, I believe, on average.
Right. Yeah.
So you can tell. So maybe just all of those games where he pitches over 100 times is starting to take its wear on him.
Yeah, I just wonder if we'll see the JV of old.
Right, but really, all that matters, the way that the rest of the Tigers' rotation is performing, as long as he kind of rights the ship by playoff time, mm-hmm. I think we're going to forget all about it. He might have a down year, but as long as he's ready when it really matters and he can step up in September and October, I think we'll forget all about the troubles with JV. And, you know, at least he's got Max Scherzer and Sanchez and everybody else doing their part. So it's not like he's just the only guy now.
Right. Unbelievable, right? I mean, yeah, when you got a guy like Max who's, you know, 14-1 now and looking at JV, I wonder, you know, looking at that incredible, really incredible streak that he had, that incredible how he played last season, and to try to kind of match that is a tough thing to do. Maybe he hit his peak. I don't know.
It's very possible. He's getting older.
Yeah, he's getting older. So I don't know. Maybe he has hit his peak. But all right. So Biogenesis, very interesting story that has come out today about the whole Biogenesis MLB investigation. Now, the Biogenesis scandal, appears to only just be getting started because in the aftermath of Ryan Braun's suspension, Biogenesis whistleblower Porter Fisher, he told ESPN's Outside the Lines that multiple sports had at least one athlete who received PEDs from Tony Bosch. That's the company's embattled founder. So this thing doesn't just, apparently, does not just lie in the world of baseball. He said at least one athlete from every sport was supposedly in this entire Biogenesis and visiting the lab with Tony Bosch. Now, Fisher didn't name anyone, but suggest players from sports like MMA, the NBA, NCAA, tennis, and boxing. They all have ties to Bosch and the company. Now, Fisher stated he wasn't aware of any clients from the NFL or NHL. So NFL players, I guess, right now are good as far as Bosch is concerned. He also stated that the problem is more widespread than people realize and also dates back further. He says, quote, "This isn't a 2013 thing or 2012 thing. Some of these people who have been on the books since 2009. Now, Fisher, who handed documents over to the Miami New Times last year, has received threats as a result of the investigation. He says, quote, "I received that threat that if you don't stop the article, if certain people are mentioned, they're going to be killed. This is not somebody to mess around with," and so on and so forth. "That freaked me out. Enough said." Interesting stuff, guys. So do you guys see this thing really becoming big if they, you know, if it does stem out to, you know, organizations like the NBA and the NCAA and MMA and other sports like that? I mean, where do you guys see this thing going?
Well, with, you know, the Ryan Braun suspension and kind of the good PR that Major League Baseball is getting, I think, yeah, it's definitely going to go in that direction. If, you know, more names come out and more suspensions are handed down, I think other sports will kind of take Major League Baseball's lead. Wow, who would ever thought that other sports would be following Major League Baseball? But
no, right?
They might take MLB's lead and start, you know, disciplining some guys. But the biggest surprise of that whole story, though, was that there's no NFLers or NHL. Well,
yeah.
NHL, I guess they're just too busy, like, you know.
Right, they're skating.
They're a different breed.
It's a different
breed.
The
NHL guys are a different breed. But the NFL, that is surprising because you'd figure they'd be all over that list.
Yeah, that's one thing when I read that and look over that story that really sticks out to me. When he said, you know, when the headline came out that this was just not an MLB thing and it stemmed out to other sports, I thought for sure the NFL was going to be in that. But, you know, that's very surprising. That's very, very surprising. But, you know, this whole thing is just so frustrating because, I mean, and when you look at a sport like basketball, though, and you talk about steroids, I mean, when I look at basketball is more of a finesse sport. I mean, maybe it can help you out as far as strength-wise down low, like if you're a center or something like that, but helping out a guard with steroids, I don't know in the world of basketball if that, even if, you know, it was found out that somebody was using steroids in basketball, it wouldn't be a bigger story just because of the definition of the sport. I don't know. What'd you guys think about that if they find somebody in the NBA using it?
That's why LeBron's so good.
Yeah, because but still, it's more of a finesse game. Like, steroids aren't going to help you shoot better. You know
but
what
they
mean?
Might help you jump higher.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I can if see you're that. A guard and, you know, you're battling for layups and all of a sudden you're throwing down on, you know, Birdman or something.
Yeah, strength-wise, definitely.
Right.
Especially
yeah, sure.
When shooting with contact. If you, your boy Rodney Stuckey, when he's driving to the hoop, maybe he needs some PEDs out.
While shooting, Stuckey needs some. Yeah, Stuckey needs. I encourage Stuckey to use PEDs because he needs it, all right? Stuckey needs it. He's so frustrated watching him play. But anyway, though, it'll be very interesting to see where this goes, the whole Biogenesis. Again, it is not just baseball, ladies and gents. MMA, NBA, NCAA, tennis, and boxing are reportedly all to have ties with Tony Bosch's whole Biogenesis lab. Interesting stuff. All right, Aaron Hernandez. This story gets more interesting and interesting. Former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez is holding what authorities say appears to be a gun in several surveillance photos that were released yesterday and had been recorded shortly after his friend Odin Lloyd was shot to death. If you go, I mean, the photo has now just hit the airwaves. I mean, it's all over the internet. You can easily Google it, but you can see there's a photo of Aaron Hernandez. It looks like he's peeking around a corner or something like that, and you can clearly see a dark shade near his left side of his body that looks in the shape of a gun. I would assume it's a gun. Now, the photos taken from Hernandez's home surveillance system are contained in more than 100 pages of court documents, or court records, I should say, released by Attleboro District Court. Now, Hernandez has pleaded not guilty to murder in the death of Odin Lloyd. Now, Odin, of course, he's a 27-year-old. He was a 27-year-old Boston semi-pro football player whose body was found June 17th at an industrial park a mile from Hernandez's home. Lloyd was shot 5 times. Now, the pictures show Hernandez in the basement holding a gun. Now, if you look at the time period of that video and the time when Odin Lloyd was shot and killed, this was this is just after Odin Lloyd was shot and killed that these photos were taken. The surveillance was cut off within minutes after that shot was taken of Aaron Hernandez with that gun. Now, other photos show what authorities say is Hernandez in his living room a few hours before Lloyd's killing, also holding what they believe is a gun. Now, police say Lloyd was killed with a .45 caliber gun, and it has not been recovered. Hernandez is still being held without bond. Prosecutors say Hernandez orchestrated, of course, Lloyd's killing because he was upset at him for talking to people Hernandez had problems with at a nightclub a few days earlier. Now, they also say that Hernandez and two associates, Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz, drove with Lloyd to the North Attleboro Industrial Park. Authorities have not said who fired the shots, but documents filed in Florida portray the former Patriot as a trigger man. Now, according to reports, Ortiz told police that Wallace, this is a lot of he said, she said, Ortiz told police that Wallace said that Hernandez fired the shots. So, this is messy. Now, Wallace is scheduled to appear in court on Friday. Wow. Interesting stuff. Like, why?
What I'm curious is if he's holding the gun in the surveillance and he's saying he's not guilty to the killing, is he claiming that he didn't fire the shots and he's going to take the possession of a firearm as a guilty charge? Or is he just denying everything totally?
I think he might just be denying everything totally. I don't know. It'll be like I said, he's still being held without bond, so he has not had a second hearing, I believe. But man, this is bad. This is really bad. They got photos of him. I mean, if you look at the photo, you can clear it. It's in the shape of a gun. It's kind of blurry, granted, but still, it looks like a gun. It's a gun. I'm going to say it's a gun.
So much for Florida maybe being too quick on taking that brick out. That looks pretty bad.
That just went out the window. We were kind of fin for him a little bit yesterday, but that's gone now.
So much for that.
Yeah, that's out of here, guys. So that really gets sticky again. One of his associates, Carlos Ortiz, who drove with Lloyd, said that Ernest Wallace, who also drove with Odin Lloyd, Ortiz says that Wallace said Hernandez fired the shots. So it just gets really sticky, guys. All right, Ron Mason, let's just go to some joy now. Ron Mason, Michigan State's all-time leader in college hockey wins, is one of five in the 2013 class of inductees of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame announcement. Just give a hand clap. That's great stuff right there, guys. That's beautiful stuff. You guys giving golf claps. All right. Congrats to Ron Mason. He was truly a legend in the area. Mason coached the Spartan hockey team for 23 seasons, winning a national championship back in 1986 and numerous league titles. Mark Hollis, of course. Now, he coached the Spartans from 79 to 2002, retiring at that time with the most wins in college hockey history, in which he recruited, of course, at MSU. He then served as MSU's athletic director. A lot of people don't know that until 2007, where he was succeeded by a friend of current sports, Mark Hollis. Mark released a statement saying, quote, "Ron Mason made a positive impact on many people. Within the sport of hockey, he was a dynamic leader, both on and off the ice. Though his commitment to youth hockey success as a college coach and mentor to men that played in the NHL and other professions, he continues to make a positive impact across our nation." Congrats to you, Ron. Such a great guy and a great story. He will be heading to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. Well-deserved. All right, Vince Young, guys. He's in some debt. Alex, I'm going to talk about this, too, because we talk about the whole being broke thing, and we had the discussion about that, And you kind of argue the whole going out and partying with women and, you know, just dollar bill, making it rain in the clubs. And this was just a stupid story. Now, police entered Vince Young's home on Monday morning to settle an old debt. Now, according to a report, police in Texas entered Young's home to take an inventory of all his belongings and value them for auction. Now, these items will be auctioned off by a court order to settle a $1.7 million debt that Young owes to a company called Pro Player Funding. Now, the Pro Player Funding gave Young a high-risk loan during the 2011 NFL lockout that Young then defaulted on. Now, Young claims that the company and his former financial advisor, Ronnie Peoples, duped him into taking out the loan. Now, a court ruled in favor of Pro Player Funding, and Young has been disputing the judgment ever since. As part of the judgment, Young will be allowed to keep $60,000 worth of personal belongings, but the rest must be auctioned off. Vince Young, you got to watch where you're taking advice from.
When's the auction? I want to go to that.
I know, right? Man, I can only imagine this stuff's going to be auctioned. Probably some pretty cool stuff, man. But, guys, I mean, that's just a perfect example of we talked about why athletes go broke, like, near the beginning of current sports. I believe in, like, week 3 or week 4 or something like that. And we talked about, you know, just the stupid decisions that they make. And this is one of those decisions where you got a lot of people around you that are kind of urging you, especially, you know, when the NFL went on lockout in 2011 and Vince was looking for some security. So I can kind of see his thought process in doing this. He wanted to make sure, you know, that he wasn't losing any money. So he decided to take out this loan to possibly have some extra change in his pocket. It's a loan, Vince. You have to pay it back. But, you know, he says that they defaulted on, they duped him a little bit. And, you know, Ronnie Peoples, his financial advisor, you know, advised him to take out this loan. And, you know, Vince went for it, and now he's not happy with that. So, but he made the decision to take it out. Guys, what's your thoughts on this crazy story?
Honestly, does anyone have a weirder career than Vince Young?
He has a very
talk weird, about a guy who was ahead of his time. Now we have all these dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He was the guy. He was like the pinnacle of a dual threat quarterback.
Yes, and he was.
In what, 3 seasons in the NFL, he's washed up. Like I can't believe he even got approved for the loan. In 2011, he had already been washed up for 3 seasons.
Right,
it's like,
3 seasons,
you know.
Exactly. And there was so much hype coming out with Vince Young. I mean,
that title
one
game
of the greatest,
still.
Oh, that's,
yeah,
that,
it's
that,
amazing.
Still amazing. One of the great. He's no question one of the greatest college quarterbacks to ever live. And, you know, all the hype of him coming to the NFL. And for a minute, it was like, okay, he's a pretty good player. But then it just went downhill. And, you know, but, you know, these players out here, they have to, you know, really think about the decision they make sometimes, especially financially, because, I mean, that's $1.7 million just out the drain. Now, it may not be anything to Vince Young. It's 1.7. That's like a drop in the bucket for a lot of these NFL players, especially the prolific ones with big names. But still, that's $1.7 million that's just in the garbage.
Is he even on a team? I don't believe so.
I don't think so. We can Google that. Get back with us on that. All right, and Team USA, let's move on. Team USA's scrimmage. Interesting stuff because 2 Pistons are actually on this team. Now, Kyrie Irving, he scored 23 points and had 7 assists to lead the white team over the blue team in a 128-106. Oh, that's a lot of scoring right there. In Team USA's exhibition scrimmage in preparation for the FIBA 2014 World Cup of Basketball in Spain. Anthony Davis responded with 22 points, 7 rebounds for the blue team, joining Irving as one of the 2 players who had more or less solidified their spots on that 2014 roster. Now, the scrimmage was the conclusion of a 4-day USA basketball camp for younger players and featured names like Damian Lillard, Pistons' Greg Monroe, Pistons' Andre Drummond. You got Klay Thompson, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, Ty Lawson. Just a ton of talent on this team. Monroe finished with 10.6 rebounds, and Andre Drummond came off the bench and contributed his usual dunks and rebounds on his way to 13 points and 6 rebounds. And Pistons president of basketball operations, Joe Dumars, was on hand at Nevada, Las Vegas. Also, he was sitting next to Josh Smith, who the Pistons just picked up. And also, guard Chauncey Billups also watched the game because he is a part of the USA basketball board. Now, Team USA coach, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, said that he is still a ways from announcing the final roster. The players are only playing for a spot on that roster, but eventually a 2016 Olympic roster for the Summer Games will begin in Brazil. So far, the 2016 team has only commitments from Kevin Durant and Kevin Love. So 2 Kevins have already committed to that team. All right, and Mark D'Antonio, guys, I want to talk about Mark really quick before we hit the break. Mark D'Antonio, he gave a nod yesterday during the wrap-up of Big Ten Media Day to Alabama coach Nick Saban, who brought D'Antonio to Michigan State as his defensive backs coach in 1995. Now, Saban is known as a pretty stressful coach, but D'Antonio said the benefits outweighed everything else. He says, quote, he is a defensive backs coach. That's what he talked about is of Saban. He's going to be in your meeting. He was in my meeting every day, and I coached with him for 5 years, maybe longer at that time than any other coach, and made it. But I gained a great deal of football knowledge. Early on, he was going to get up in front of me and take over the meeting, and that's okay. But after a year of that, you basically sat there and watched. And if he could start a sentence, I could finish it, and vice versa. I knew exactly what he knew, and there was power in that. There was also a lot of power in the fact that he knew what was being taught in that room. So when a guy went over someone's head or when a guy blew a coverage, that finger wasn't pointed at the coach. So really good words from Mark D'Antonio concerning Nick Saban, who's, of course, out in Alabama. That's really a powerhouse out there. Nick Saban, really a special coach. So, all right, ladies and gents, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. Going to take your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Or hit me up on Facebook, tweet me, email me. Reflection Friday is coming right at you. Keep it locked right here.
Tig Notaro used her comedy act to break the news she had cancer.
Good evening. Hello. I have cancer. How are you?
It became one of the most talked about comedy sets of the past few years. It's just come out on CD. Our interview with Notaro about that performance on the next Fresh Air.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We are taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. It's also the end of the week. We are quickly approaching the end of the month. July is about to be gone in a minute, folks. Wow. Man, summer is just flying by. But it's Reflection Friday, where we recap our favorite moments and most memorable stories of the week here on Current Sports. Of course, production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky are here, and also intern Mike Corey, as we just reflect. Let's just reflect, guys, on some of our favorite moments and stories right here on the show. Who wants to go first? Go ahead. Anybody.
I'm not going to really get into it because we all know that you need to warm up every time you golf, Al. But here's what I will say is that, yeah, going out with Max and the shots that we got from, I believe, the video you'll be posting sometime early next week.
No, this weekend.
Were tremendous. I mean, it was such a beautiful course going out there. And it's definitely one of the few courses that have GPSs in the golf carts. So cool features
stuff
at Timber Ridge. But besides that, I think seeing Chris D. Rucker was pretty cool in here. He had a lot of good things to say about, quote-unquote, minor league football.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely my reflection, was your golf game and then Chris D. in the studio.
I tell you what, though, but Alex, you saw me. Once we played the hole for the segment, we went out actually with Max and played about, what is it, two or three holes,
I think?
No,
you did your thing.
And, you know, boom shakalaka, baby. I was right there hitting straight. You know, I just need to get warmed up. I'm definitely going out to the driving range before I go out and play 18 tomorrow, which should be fun, going back to Detroit and doing that. But, yeah, that's always fun going out with Max, and he has some great tips and advice. I want to get your thoughts on his segment as well. I mean, guys, leave us a comment and let us know if you're enjoying our Golf Tick segment with Max Rebner, who's golf pro at Timber Ridge Golf Course. Timber Ridge is such a beautiful course. I mean, the GPS is, and they tell you how far you are from the pin. It can read exactly where you're at on the course and describes the course. The GPSs are, they give like a beautiful layout of the hole, and it's in color. It's gorgeous. You got to go out there if you haven't been there. Yeah, definitely. All right, guys, who's next? Who wants to, favorite moments here on Current Sport? Reflect. Let's reflect. We need some reflection music, Aaron, like some real soft, you know. We don't have any, though, but we'll get some. We'll have some reflection music. Yeah, we'll get some reflection music.
One of my, well, not so favorites, but it's sort of what happened after this, was besides the Ryan Braun thing, which we talked about extensively already on the show, the play in the Atlanta Braves-Mets game, the Tim Hudson and Eric Young Jr.
Oh,
a terrible play, but what I saw after it, you see Eric Young Jr. like sprinting to after he know, because he right when he said he knew what happened and immediately ran back, and you can see like tears in the motion in his eyes.
It's great sportsmanship.
Absolutely, and MLB needs to focus on that kind of person right now. Get more people like Eric Young and less like Ryan Braun.
Yeah,
and another thing I read today, which I really thought was funny, was there was a Brewers fan who had a shirt that said Braun on the back.
Fraud, right?
It made it look like it said fraud, and the security came up and threatened to kick her out of the game if she didn't change the shirt.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to change Ryan Braun's last name into fraud. You replace the B with an F, and you replace the N with a D.
It's almost like he was asking for it.
Yeah, he was asking for it, like, please, yes, yeah. So, yeah, that fan, I definitely saw that she was asked to leave, right, and she was kicked out the game?
No, she was not kicked out of the game. Oh, okay. She stayed, she changed it, and the Brewers organization said, you know, the security had no right to do that, and they're offering her a ticket. Because unless it says, like, something, you know, expletive or, like,
right,
offensive.
I don't see what's wrong with that. Yeah, the man is a fraud. Let's be honest here. And if she wants to say that on
her, they said she had a completely she was free to express her opinion, and they're giving her a ticket to a future game.
That angers me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Why should somebody be kicked out of the game? I mean, the man is a fraud. Why? I mean, what was wrong with her wearing a jersey at a game?
Oh,
like
and nothing was wrong.
Nothing
but
at all.
It's the communication for the Brewers, the PR. It's what they wanted.
It is what it is.
So if she
the Brewers are making the right thing. They said they had no right to do it.
So they apologize.
Yeah, they apologize and are giving her a ticket to the game.
Deservingly so. Good stuff.
It's the same with shooting a video in public. If you are on the sidewalk and you want to take a video of something happening, you are legally allowed to do that. Now, if a policeman was there, would he want you taking a video of him? I don't know. Same thing applies to this picture at the game, this shirt. If you are at the game at a public place and you bought a ticket, you are allowed entry into that game. You are more than welcome to wear pretty much whatever on your back. Right. If someone tells you you cannot, you legally can. But they're the ones that are preferring it. So
yeah,
I think that's
preferring is the key word.
So, Alex, on this scale, say I am taking a video. Am I not allowed to bark at a police dog that's there in the area? Like, is that worse?
Right,
or,
is that worse?
Know,
yeah, where is that on the scale?
Where does that lie on the scale? Well, I'd love to see that drawn out.
Depends what police officer, too.
I guess, apparently.
Yeah, apparently, jeez, man. I tell you. So I guess that's where you're going with your reflection.
You know what? I'm
going
to go a different direction.
Oh, you're not? Okay, I thought that was like a segue.
That would have been a pretty great segue. Now that
I
really should go, but Antonio Morrison, you'll get your share later. I got to talk about A-Rod because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is the week that he should be, you know, hiding under a rock, maybe calling Ryan Braun and thanking him for just being like, thank you for being a bigger idiot than I am for, like, this little sliver in time. Right. But no, he gets this big, you know, dramatic soap opera with the Yankees that he doesn't trust the team doctor, said he was ready to play Friday, but he wasn't.
Right.
It's just like, A-Rod, you know, the Yankees just aren't that into you anymore. It's over. Yep. Just like cut your losses, quit. It just seems a little pathetic. There's a very, very heavy tint of desperation mm-hmm. in every story you hear about A-Rod, and it's just right. getting old. I think, you know, everybody's ready to move on from that era and from him, you know, specifically. And I think he should just kind of take the hint that America is giving him and just kind of go away for a little while.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And when you look at A-Rod, I mean, it's ridiculous now. I mean, first of all, his name is listed in the whole Biogenesis thing. And then he has all these injuries. He hasn't been healthy for I don't know when. And it's really one of those things you look at and say, yeah, his career with the Yankees is very it's number. His days are numbered with the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean.
And. Yeah, he should be thanking Ryan Braun, though.
His career might be numbered.
Yeah, like,
yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, the Yankees and I think America in general is suffering from some A-Rod fatigue. I think we're ready to just be done with him.
Right.
And I think he should just kind of lay low for a while.
Just lay low, man.
You know?
Just, you know,
if
that,
you come
you know,
back,
that was, yeah.
just like shut your mouth and hit some home runs. And
right.
people will be like, oh, yeah, A-Rod's all right. But
yeah. You know, some people just love the spotlight. Some people just don't know how to just lay low and just stop, you know, stop attracting attention.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and this is random. I was just watching Inside Edition happen to be on yesterday, and, you know, Miley Cyrus told Justin Bieber to do that. You know that? I didn't even know
really?
That. Really? Yeah, she told, that was Miley Cyrus's advice.
Beacon of wisdom.
Yeah, she
Miley
is,
Cyrus.
She's a beacon of wisdom. She
wow.
told, she said, hey, Bieber, chill out, man. You need to just lay low. Get away from the media. And Bieber hasn't been in the headlines for about a week. That's a long time for him.
That's true.
That's a long
wow.
time.
And,
yeah.
you know, just A-Rod, it just seems like he's going to be one of those guys that has, like, a really sad retirement where, like, you just
yeah.
read stories that, like, he's just doing weird stuff and appearing in places that he doesn't belong. And it's just
weird
like, A-Rod,
stuff.
Just, like, go away. Please.
Right.
We're done. It's
oh,
yeah.
man. Yeah, he's bad. Like I said, he should be thanking Ryan Braun because – Ryan Braun's whole fiasco with the whole Biogenesis thing definitely took a lot of the heat off
oh, yeah.
A-Rod as far as the media goes. So for me, though, guys, of course, it's Ryan Braun. That was a huge story. We actually revamped the show to talk about that one because it was, you know, such a big story in sports. And I'm sure we have a lot more shows like that coming with the, you know, with the crazy list of people that are on that Biogenesis investigation list. But for me, another story that really was interesting and, you know, I could definitely see being an interesting Barbershop Wednesday or segment down the road was the Oakland University coach, Becky Francis, who was just recently let go. And she was let go because actually a former player of hers came out and said that she was pretty controlling in, you know, during her time at OU. Actually asking, she gives an account of when, you know, she was there. She was an incoming freshman. All the freshmen sit down. Becky's talking to them, and she kind of just goes on this rant that says, you know, hey, you guys can come to my church if you want. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with inviting me to the church. But then she goes on to inquire whether they're, you know, virgins or not, or whether they do drugs or not, and it just really made them uncomfortable. And, if you look at this, you know, this wasn't just the first account of it. I mean, there were countless players that came through her program that complained about her being too controlling. And it got to a point where the players would just have a general consensus and just lie and say, if she asks, we don't party. We've never had sex. We've never done anything. And that's one of those things that, you know, really alarmed the OU program. And she was let go. Bizarre stuff. And I would like to have a conversation in the future whether or not, you know, what's the line when it comes to coaches, because some coaches are just over the top. You got the Bobby Knight type coaches, and then you got coaches just kind of just chill, just lay back, and just go with the flow. And some of it, like Phil Jackson, one of those coaches where you don't see him yelling too much on the sidelines. He's just real, real chill, you know?
Right.
Just
Zen
relax.
Master.
Yeah,
Zen master, you know? Zen master, man. But that was really a crazy story. All right, guys. Well, crazy week.
Well, guess
Friday
what?
Already. Go ahead.
Somewhat breaking news. Alfonso Soriano is a Yankee again.
He is a Yankee again. That Yankee just came again. Through the wire.
Officially
okay.
waived his no-trade clause, and the Yankees will actually pick up $6.8 million that came off his $24.5 contract, as the Cubs will get $17.7 million from it. So Yankees covering the losses for the Cubs.
Right, you're right. I just see that. So, yeah, he's with the Yanks. All right. Good stuff, Alex. You are the man.
Hey, yeah, just looked on
the man.
Looked on some
front. You are in a zone. Alex is always in a zone. On
hey,
his
no,
laptop.
I wasn't,
he's
man.
Like,
2 days
great.
Ago, I was out of it. You know.
Yeah,
that.
You were really.
I
yeah,
was really out of it.
Yeah,
two days ago.
Yeah, it's not replay that
college,
one. All
right.
Hey, how about Would you like to have a sports update right before we – or the yeah. points update, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing. Vince Young, no team. Last signed with the Bills, but released before this season.
Good stuff.
Update on that.
All right.
Point update. Alex leads with 24 after picking up 3 points on the Tigers series. It was 3-1. I also picked up 3 points, so I'm at 17. You guys did not pick up any points because you picked the split. So nothing there.
So
one more week, guys. One
so
more.
You have 12. Maddie, you have 10. What you guys need is the Tigers to win 2-1, which will help both of you out. But you need Matt Kenseth to win to pick up 5 points, and you need Jimmy Johnson.
Come on, NASCAR. I'm going to be glued to NASCAR this weekend, baby. Not really, but I'm going to be looking at my phone for updates. All right, guys. It's the weekend. What are you guys watching? What do you guys watch? Anything on the tube? Like I said, it's the summertime. Nothing's really on TV.
The newsroom just started up, so I'm watching that.
Oh, great show. I started watching it, too. Great show. Yeah, I watched season one. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm watching that. And then I'm also watching the show on Netflix called Orange is the New Black. It's focused in a woman's prison facility. It's from the creator of Weeds. Watch the first episode. Great show so far.
Nice. All right, it's interesting. But yeah, Aaron Sorkin did a great job with the newsroom. It's really good show.
His stuff is timeless. I was watching The West Wing the other day,
too. Yeah, that's another one. Aaron Sorkin is that's good stuff. All right, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm actually going to check out, I think it comes out in a week, but I'm going to definitely look at the new Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg
action movie.
That
looks really good. Yeah, anything with Denzel is A1.
Exactly. You know? I'll definitely be tuned into The Boys of Summer to make sure that I maintain my lead for picks.
Yeah, true that. So, Matt, what you got, man?
All right, I'm going to co-opt Orange is the New Black. I've seen about half of the episodes. Oh. It's a great show.
Good
stuff,
super
entertaining and crazy. But I will not be watching The Newsroom. That show drives me crazy.
Really?
It just seems like the show that is so satisfied with itself. That
I love Aaron Sorkin's words.
Yeah, it really gives you a kind of a look into national news and how they handle it, and it's interesting stuff. For me, I just started watching The League. You guys know what The League is? Yeah, you guys probably know.
I love it.
I watched season one in about 2 hours because, you know, the episodes are really, really short.
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes.
Right. Great. It had me dying laughing in tears yesterday, so I probably watched a little bit of that over the weekend. And also, I'm going to go see Wolverine just came out. Huge Wolverine fan. Got to hit the movies to see that. All right, guys. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shark and Matt Lucky, production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Max Rebner, Timber Ridge Golf Pro, for the great tips. Go play 18 this weekend, people. Have a fantastic weekend. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, be easy, people.